you're a professing believer in Jesus Christ and you know that He is the only begotten Son of God, you believe that He is the only sacrifice, the only acceptable sacrifice, and you put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you please stand? Good. Is everybody in here standing? I hope that is the case with everybody. And the reason I asked you to stand, is this one reason. Because if you couldn't stand, this message really wouldn't apply to you. But since you stood, it absolutely applies to you. So everything that I preach, everything that I read, and everything I say tonight is a benefit to you. Now the next part of it is, use it. You may be seated. John chapter 14, verse 1. I was sitting here thinking, church starts weird sometimes. Church starts weird sometimes. Like tonight, when we first started, I thought, kind of goofy, funny, And then Scott sang that song, and it got serious and real. And then I started really paying attention to what he said and then what he sang, right? If you'll pay attention sometimes to what God's doing, I didn't call Scott. I did text Scott today. I was just encouraging him to sing a certain song. Not that one. But what, we do that. I talk to him quite often, but I did not talk to him about the message because this morning coming into the message, it was kind of neat. My son asked me last night, what are you preaching on? And I said, I'm going to preach about faith without works is dead. Well, I got here today, and apparently, that was a me message, not a you message at this point. And I started reading, and God said, I'm in Leviticus right now in my normal reading. I'm reading in the book of James for sermon prep. And all of a sudden, here I am, and, God hits me with this thing in John chapter 14. He said, it was like God said, go read John 14. I don't know why I keep wanting to say James, but anyway, John 14. So I did, and I read the first part of the first verse. And I really don't have to preach more than that if we could connect what's already happened in this service with what I'm about to read to you. I mean, I know it's not going to happen. I am going to continue to preach, I figure. But let not your heart be troubled. I mean, that's what's happened up to this point in this message, in this sermon, in this service, you know what I'm saying? Got a lot of things going on. My heart's heavy. Listen to this song. It's like God's telling us tonight, well, as you're sitting here, stop worrying. Stop worrying. Stop being afraid. Stop being like cowardly fear. Listen, I'm being honest with you. I know it don't feel like that, and I know it's hard to say it like that, but it's absolutely what it is. I'll read the verse to you again. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You know what he's saying? He's saying, listen, don't let the enemy scare you so bad that you freeze up. I'm not talking about freezing up as like you're not going to work, you're not doing this. I'm talking about freezing up in your service, in your love, in your compassion, in your fire, in your zeal for God. Don't get so overwhelmed with, like, you think that God doesn't know where you're at. You don't know what's going on. You don't know your trepidation. You don't know your fear. You don't know your anxiety. Can I stop for a minute? Can I stop just for a minute? Can I give you a little context? Jesus is sitting there with 12 guys. 11 of them are sitting there, and he's hearing their hearts. Because every day he's pushing them further from the boats and the safety of their life to the cross. And they can feel it, they can see it, and they can hear it. We're going to kill them. We're going to destroy them. And they're sitting there thinking, what happens to us? We've been walking with this man for 3 years, but what happens if they start killing us? What happens if they start putting us all on the cross? Because it seems like that's the trajectory that Christ is taking us. And they were sitting there. I could just almost feel and see this. And Jesus looks around the room and goes, let not your minds always go down the paths of fear. Because when you read that, the first thing you say, and I'm like that too. I'm an old school Christian. I've been Christianized. I've been listening to church and preaching probably since I was 13 years old. I start thinking, let your heart not be troubled. Don't let your heart race. No, it's this. It's where you put the helmet of salvation on. Why is it important that you put the helmet of salvation on? Because you're always reminding yourself that you belong to God. That you protect your thoughts. That you cover this. And you got to think of this. Jesus is right on the verge of going to the cross. But he looked around the room and he realized, oh my goodness, they're scared out of their minds. I've got to tell them. I've got to explain to them. Listen, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your mind be flooded with fear. Golly, y'all know better than what y'all are doing right now. Every one of y'all should be saying, amen, brother. Because if you're like me, I'm shouting sometimes, even in a day. I'm shouting in praise in 1 hour and then contemplating how things could go wrong the next hour. How are we going to pay for that? Man, God, you're a great Savior. Wonder if I'm going to die in the next year or so. God, y'all better come on with that. Amen? What? God, I trust you. I'll preach wherever you want me to preach. I'll sing whatever you want me to sing. I'll teach whatever you want me to teach. Ooh, what's that spot? Amen? Mom had one of those. Dad had one of those. Grandmama had one of them. Oh, my goodness. I wonder what that is. I'm going under. My goodness, Lord. Don't you know about that? Did you hear that cough? Did you hear that? Oh, come on. Man, I don't think the boss likes me. I don't think they're going to put up with me. What happens if my husband does? What happens if my wife dies? What happens if my kids get on that bus and they don't come back home? What in the world's going on? Right? I seen a lot of pictures of a lot of kids going to school. I guarantee you, there were some mamas going, I ain't going to get them back. Amen? And at 4 o'clock, they got them back. When do we send them back to school? Right? It gets harder the next day and the next day, but about that second, third week, that's a pretty good trip. All right, y'all are back with me on the fun side. That was good. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You like that? Believe in me. No, listen, it's deeper than that. Lean on me. Lean on me. Trust me. Rest on me. Grab hold of me. Clutch me. Set on me. Stand in me. Don't be moved. If you believed in God, believe also in me. Jesus saying, I'm as strong. I'm a foundation for you. You can always trust. Don't be pushed around. Grab hold and don't let go. Man, I'm glad. Man, praise God. Listen, guys, I know it's one verse. I know you've heard it before, but praise God. Is this not, it's right on time with what God's doing here, right now, in this building, this very hour. And I wouldn't be this excited if I hadn't listened to that song and had somebody say, man, I'm really in a low place. I need a word. Well, guess what? Don't let your heart be troubled. God said, hey, if you believe in me, you know what you got to remember? He's God. He created you. You might want to write this down. He's the beginning and the end. Golly, man, sometimes I think, golly, Lord, do you not know what I'm doing? He's like, yes, it's part of the process. It's part of the process. I'm so upset. I feel so alone. Look, that's part of the process. Man, there's been every one of y'all been here. Have you ever been in a room where you're laying there looking up at the ceiling going, God, why am I here? How did I get here? You must have come up off the watch. You must have lost your sense of who I, one of the sheep has wandered off and you don't care. I'm preaching real to you, and I don't know if you like it or not, but this is absolutely true. I have been in some places where I'm like, Jesus, give me the wheel back. I ain't got to be the guy. But sometimes I'm like, I can drive. Just let me drive. Let me show you a shortcut. Amen? Because I know where I want to go and I know where we need to be. Am I being real with you? Because sometimes when God drives, where are we going? Why do I need to be at the hospital? Why do I need to be in the emergency room? Why do I need to be here? Why am I having to get an x-ray? Man, I thought, what in the world? Maybe, just maybe, God's taking you through that process because He's not just working on you. He's working on everybody. And I think about stuff all the time. Not only are they afraid of all the religious elite and all the people, but you also got a devil. He's still alive. And he's still really real. And man, he says some crazy stuff. He'll crawl up on your shoulder and say, they all hate you. You're going to be homeless in a month. Well, I better preempt to strike that. Amen? I better start making some plans. I better start taking care of some stuff on my own. And God said, we're going, why are you listening to him? He's a liar. Amen? I wish y'all get this stuff because I hate preaching myself out loud. Amen? Some of y'all need to start sharing some stuff. But that's the way it goes with God. You trust in me. Listen, I love this. In my Father's house are many mansions. Golly. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Man, if nobody else can get this, Terry, you can get this. Terry, I'm going to be honest with you. This part of the message might be as perfect for you as anybody. He's moving from one place to another place. He's going from this church to that church. He's got a pastor who's moving from this place to that place. Amen, preacher. Pretty good. Why does he say that? Because while you're in this temporary shelter, I'm working on a place for you that's better. Golly, bum, sometimes just because you know you're going somewhere better makes the place that you are worth doing what you're doing. Praise God. Sometimes we should just be off the chain crazy good with God because somebody say, you're having a bad day. You've had all this disappointment. You got chaos going on. What's your problem? God's building me a mansion in heaven. I'm going to a better place. I don't care if this is my last day. I don't care if this is the worst day. I don't care if this is the beginning of the worst days. And this worst day has nothing compared to tomorrow's worst day. I'm still going to heaven. You know, since we found out the other day that we're moving to the new property, since it's like stamped and official, do you know what we say a lot now around the old Shelton home? I don't like that. It doesn't matter. We're moving soon. Have you said that lately, Terry? It don't matter. We're moving soon. Can I give you a prime example right here? Man, we don't have a whole lot of room in here. Don't worry. We're moving soon. Praise. This world is horrible. It doesn't matter. We're moving soon. Golly, bum. Man, I'm telling you right now, God hit me with this, and I'm thinking, I can relate to this, Lord. I can relate. As long as I know I'm going to a better place, and I know that you're building. Listen, Jesus said, the construction, listen, I want you to do this. The construction, the guy who's got the permits and who's got the plans and who's drawn it out and who's working on it and doing the details is me. What? God is making a place for you, wretched sinner, you, unrighteous you, unholy you. Man, golly, bum. You don't, golly, I wish I could get this. In heaven, there is a place that has your name on it. Wow. Whose place is that right there? It's going up. I seen it across the street. I wonder if it's your mama, your grandmama. Some friend, somebody who's moving in next door over there. They're coming. God's working on their place. My God, I can't wait till they get here. They're going to love this. Amen? They're going to love this. It's an amazing place. Well, they're at their old place right now. Amen? They're at their old place right now. But they're coming. Man, but God has got that going on. And guess what? When God gets finished with your process in heaven, He comes down and says, okay, it's time for you to move. Moving day. Moving day is scary. It's weird. It's hard. But guess what? When you move in, golly bum, your first day in heaven is going to be something. You know what I mean? It's just going to be amazing. Yeah, we're going to see Him. That'll take up a good while. But praise God, do you know? And then He makes, listen, let's listen to the language. Can y'all, I'm going to try to slow down a little bit and give you the language. Listen to the language in verse 2 again. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. You know what He's saying right there? That's a promise. God, listen to the language. I don't care about anybody else making me a promise. When God says, if it were not, hey, I'm telling you, golly bum, that's good. I go to prepare a place for you personally. I go to prepare. A lot of the translations got this as rooms. I don't care. I'll be honest with you. I really won't care if it's a room, a mansion, a cabin. You know what I'm saying? It won't matter. But what if, can I say this? What if, it ain't probably possible, but what if we're sending up the building materials for our home? Huh? What if everything you got going on up there is because of what you do down here, though? I'm just saying, lay up your treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust corrupts. What if you get to heaven and so you live over here? Could have lived up here. Praise God. Now, I'll be honest with you, don't care. Right inside the gate will be good. Praise God. You know what I mean? I just threw it in there. It didn't cost you anything. Don't meet me at the church and talk about, you think you're going to live in a big place? Friend, I'll be just like you. If I fall just that side of the eastern gate, I'll be ecstatic. If I get to see Jesus, if I get to see the scars. Amen? I heard something the other day, maybe it was a new song. I didn't even know, until I seen the scars, I didn't know the heart of Christ. The heart of Christ is sown in the scars. Man, I seen that, I was like, wow. Let's go a little bit further. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Who's coming on that day? He is. Your last breath that you draw on this earth, beautiful in the eyes of the Lord of the deaths of His saints. The day that you pass away, the day you draw your last breath, when your spirit leaves your body, an angel don't come get you. You don't run into this one or Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He comes. Whew. He will meet you. Amen? The bridegroom, the one you married, He will meet you. Amen? And you ain't ever going to say, who is it? Is you going to be just like John when they started to pull the nets up out of the water after the resurrection? They go, who's it? They go, that? Jesus. That's Him. We all wonder what He looks like. What does He say? When you see Him in heaven, you'll say, I know exactly who that is. No doubt about it. You'll be like King Nebuchadnezzar, right? Didn't we not throw three men bound in the fire? There's a fourth in there. Looks like the Son of God, right? He had never seen him, never met him face to face, but once you see him, you can't unsee him. Amen? Hey, this last part, I want to preach to you because I want an intelligent church. I don't want you to go on any further as a Christian and not know what you know as a Christian church, as a believing church. So here we are in verse 4. This is going to be very doctrinal, okay? Doctrinal. This is what we believe in this church. And if you don't believe this way, you're going to have an issue because this is how we believe. Amen? And we believe this way because it's biblical. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Right? Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? I love me some Thomas. I do. Thomas is one of them people, man. He asks the questions. You ever heard the thing, there are no dumb questions? He believes that. I mean, as soon as Jesus said it, Thomas says, whoa. Really don't know the way. He's been walking with Jesus for 3 years. And he don't know that he's the way. Listen, can I tell you this? It's the reason I'm preaching this tonight, part of it. Guess what? There's a lot of people that are Christians that don't know. They don't know the way. They don't know how to tell somebody else it's the way. So I give Thomas some credit. He raises his hand high. Sorry, Jesus. I don't know the way. How are we going to know it? Jesus doesn't rebuke him. Jesus tells him the answer. Now I'm going to tell you the answer. Amen? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. Underline that in your Bibles. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen. I want you to know this. This is the crux of what we believe in our church. This is what we believe. Jesus Christ is the only acceptable sacrifice for sin and salvation that we have. Period. Period. We don't have a special baptism. We don't have a special cloth. We don't have a special way to come to church. We don't have a special way to leave. We don't have some special, if you come to our church, you're almost right more or more or less. Well, there's something we do. There's something we don't do. This is the crux of what we believe. Jesus, if God got on a cross, he did. If God got on a cross and died, he did. Then that's all it took. Nothing else. Nothing else. You put your faith and trust in that. You believe in who he was. That's enough. If anybody ever tells you, but you got to be baptized with us, you got to look at them and say, I appreciate your input, but for me, it's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone and what he did at Calvary. Well, we believe that you got to wear this kind of clothing. I am sorry. I probably won't wear that kind of clothing. We believe that you worship on this day and you eat this food and you don't eat that food. I'm sorry. That will not get you into heaven. What will get you into heaven is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. What he did, the finished work of Calvary. And Jesus says that. I'm going to dig into that just a little bit more because I want to. If there was any other way for us as human beings to be saved, God wouldn't have put himself on a cross. There's no way. If there was something you could do, something you could say, something you could eat, something you could not eat, some day that you could do this on or do that on, then guess what? He'd have never got up on that cross. But when he got up on that cross, and you hear me right when I keep saying that, he got up on that cross. Amen? There was not. The Romans didn't do it. The Jews didn't do it. This group, that group. Listen, they would not have drawn 1 ounce of blood if he didn't want them to. He literally laid down his life for you. Amen? He was nailed to the cross by Jesus. Your sins held him there as much as anything. Amen? So when, as the minute they lifted him up, when they lift up the Son of Man, I will draw all men unto me. The very moment God himself was lifted up between heaven and earth, that was the sacrifice. That's why everything we have in faith comes to a place called Calvary. The whole crux of the gospel depends on a place called Calvary. If you don't come to Calvary and repent and believe in Jesus Christ, you have nothing in Christ Jesus. That is the gospel. That is what we believe. I don't care if somebody in the finest suits, in the finest addresses, in the finest cars, in the finest churches, in the finest words say, there is another way. You look at them and say, I'm sorry, but I have faith enough to trust in one way. Right? One way. Because he said, I am the way. I trust that Jesus, and somebody said this the other day, why would God make it so inclusive that he would only make one way? That's the wrong question. Why would God make any way for unrighteous people to come to him? That's the right question. Not why did he only make one way, why did he make a way? And I don't care if he makes one way or 1,000 ways. When he said, I only made one way, I got to go that way. Amen. I love this. I'm going to reread verse 6 again. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Man. You know what he just said? That God and me are the same. I'm the expressed image of God. If you see God in a man form, I'm it. Amen? That's who I am. Golly bum. And you know what you can do tonight? Every time you're troubled, every time you have anxiety, every time you have fear, every time you have trepidation, every time you feel like you're going under, you got to say to yourself, let not your heart be troubled. God is in control. He has me here and he has me there. He has me down here on earth and he has me in heaven. Ephesians chapter 2 says it this way. We sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Did you know that? The Bible says that. We sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It speaks in present tense. God considers you an ambassador. I'd preach the whole Bible to you. An ambassador. You know what an ambassador is? An ambassador is somebody who lives in a foreign land who represents their homeland. Amen? And everywhere they go, that's the land that they live in. We're ambassadors for Christ. We are here, but we are there. Amen? God considers you a citizen of heaven as much as he considers you a citizen of earth. Man, that's important. Because when you start hearing some of the thoughts that go through your mind and some of the things you read on the news and you think about the world, man, what's going on? You got to remember, wait a minute, I'm a part of the resurrection. Amen? I'm a part of the resurrection. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm an ambassador for Christ. And he is in control of everything that happens to me. And guess what? He will get glory through my life, and he will get glory through my death. Man, that's... I know. Preacher, why would you end with you can get glory through your death? Amen? Because he will. Can I help you right there before we close on that? Because some of y'all are going to leave here and say, man, that's a real downer, you know, on that death stuff. Let me give you this word for this. There's two kind of graces. Amen? There's two kind of graces. There's grace for living, and there's grace for dying. Amen? When you got grace, have you ever seen somebody go through death, and you're sitting there going, how in the world are they doing that? We had one in this church that I visited my first year here, I'm visiting them every time. And every time I walked away, got in my car, I'd walk away, and Whitney, I'd go, my gosh, how in the world
How in the world? Every time. I mean, it was just every single time I was expecting. Let her break down. Let her cry. I just want to be there. And I would walk out every time going, she's got more faith than I got. She's got more faith than I got. She's stronger than I am. She loves God more than I love God. Every single time. She just loves God. That's amazing. You know what I'm saying? You know why? Do you know why? Grace. Grace for that. We had grace to live. She had grace. Amen? And when you got grace like that, you walk right through it. Amen? Because God turns that grace up for you. You'll need it. But you got grace to live. Amen? It makes, the first couple of times I seen that go through that process, I'm sitting there going, I'm a little Christian. I don't know if I can handle that or not. You know what? When you need it, God will turn it up, turn it on. Amen? Let's all stand. Grace, there'll be grace to live and there'll be grace to pass away. Amen?